Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in His kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
One who lives in love lives in God.
And God lives in Him.
What a wonderful thing is our church.
This whole network is built on trust.
The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you.
We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, I just have a wonderful group of family here tonight. And what I really want to do is to say a prayer tonight for all those in the whole country suffering from hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, droughts, fires. It's an amazing phenomenon. There's hardly a place in this country that isn't suffering from something from the weather. And so with Hurricane George, and I've heard it pronounced 1,000 ways. One says Georgie, another said George, another said George. And so whatever it is, it's out there and it's dangerous. But we have to put our shoes, ourselves in the shoes of all those people who have no home tonight, where it's pouring down rain, where they have no water and not much to eat. And we're in our comfortable homes, which is where God has placed us, and we thank Him for that. But we need always to remember those in our country, good and bad, together, suffer for whatever reason God has ordained it, huh? And so I'd like to say a little prayer, and if you'll, and we'll end with a Hail Mary to our sweet mother to help these people regain or keep their faith. See, that's the important thing, is that we can always build and we'll always get something to eat and we'll get water and all those things can be replaced. But if you start losing faith, that's what's so important, huh? So we're going to say a little prayer before we start our program tonight. Lord God, You know all things. You know when we sit and when we stand. When not a drop of rain has fallen, You do not know it, Lord. We also know, Lord, that for all our many sins in this country, our lack of gratitude, our lack of love for Thee, we deserve whatever we get, Lord. We are weak human beings. There are many, Lord, who do not understand. When they lose faith, there are many who have lost loved ones. Grant that they may have courage and strength. Give courage and strength to everyone there, Lord, in all the cities and countries that suffer from any kind of calamity. Let us look to Thee, Lord. And though many times we do not understand, grant our trust in Thee may never falter, that our love for Thee may never waver, and that our trust and faith in Thy wondrous providence will always be strong. grant eternal rest to those who have died. Those who are injured, give strength and courage, Lord. Let their heart and mind ever look up to Thee, who also suffered for our sake. O Lord, we bless You. We praise Your holy name. And we love You. We ask Thy guidance. Hail Mary, full of grace. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Well, thank you for helping me out. You know, we don't understand, I think there's nothing, quite a few people understand perhaps, but I think the majority have a hard time understanding the cross tragedies like we have now. And all the things that come to us, it seem to us anyway, to be unfair. You hear people say all the time, why do these things happen to me? I go to church every Sunday, I go to communion, I go to confession, I'm really a good person. Why do these things happen to me? Did you ever say that? Yeah, everybody nodding their head. Yo, whoa. Well, sometimes it's not for us so much as the country. Who knows, huh? Our own salvation, our purgatory on earth, the strengthening of our faith, our will to love God, no matter what. No matter what happens. Everybody here wants to be loved. You know, I've heard so many times in letters and phone calls where men will leave their wives when they find out they have cancer. It's unbelievable. And nobody wants that. I think it's very cruel. If anybody's out there has done that recently, and I'll make a bet there is one, you better go home. You married for better or worse. And if you're only there for the better, then God may treat you the same way. Think about it. Your wife loves you, your children love you. You can't get away from pain. You make yourself miserable. And so I would encourage any of you listening tonight, if you run away from your obligations in any way, then I would think about it. You can't run. You can't run. Because you're the one in the end that destroys yourself. So many places you can run, so many things you could do, so many ways you can distract yourself, but down in here, you're not getting better. You're getting worse. You know it. You're sitting there listening to me tonight and you're saying, she's talking to me. You're absolutely right. I am talking to you. Go back. Do your duty. Be a man, not a coward. And then the Lord will bless you with strength and courage. I just wanted to share with you a little bit from St. Paul. You know, we always are scandalized by tragedies. Our Lady was not. No one will ever tell me that if you saw your son, it was a good young man who did good to everybody. He's beaten up and killed by a group of ruffians Nobody would tell me you would understand. The thing you'd say is, why? That's why one of the many, many, many reasons I love Our Lady, she never said why. Never. If her son suffered, she was willing to suffer with him. See? And if you look at all the saints, when I get done tonight, you're going to say, who wants to be one? You do. You want to be a saint. You're not here like a little grain of sea on the shore. You're here to be a saint. And you know, they say in the latter days, whenever that is, could be today, who knows? I do think our Lord's patience, if you read the Old Testament, you find our Lord's patience kind of worn out a little bit. You stiff-necked people. I'm going to fix you up. These are my words, not his. But it means the same. Then he goes around and tells them how rotten they were. Pretty bad. They used to sacrifice their children to the gods, the pagan gods. Oh. Don't we today? Are we sacrificing millions of children today for the pagan god of pleasure? Trying to run away from reality, responsibility. Never, I don't think, in the history of mankind has mankind itself killed so many children out of worship to a pagan god of comfort. And selfishness, whatever. I cannot see the blood of all these children down drains and toilets, murdered and torn to pieces in the most terrible way. I can't see our Lord standing by much longer. Read the Old Testament, great book. Kind of scary. But what we're doing to the unborn is scary too, isn't it, huh? Yeah, we do a lot of things we shouldn't do. But I want to prove to you tonight that St. Paul had a lot of problems that we have today, and he was a good man, a holy man. Didn't start out that way. But I like the saints, and I like all their faults and weaknesses. I want to see how God socked the tomb. Why? Because when I get it, I feel better. Don't you? Sure. You know, I know St. Paul had such a hard time. Makes me feel pretty good. He was kind of griping, but he wanted to boast a little bit. He says, this is 4 Corinthians. He says, has anybody given you some special right? What do you have that was not given to you? Oh, all you arrogant people out there. Did you hear that? St. Paul was a theologian. He didn't know it. He didn't have a degree. Nobody called him Dr. Paul. He got it from the Lord. He was a man who hated the new Christian gods. And all the Christian people went with him. And all of a sudden he gets converted. But what did the Lord do? Blinded him. He said, why do you persecute me? Well, he had to think a little bit. Now here's St. Paul and he says, if it was given you, how can you boast as though it were not? Isn't that what we do when we're so proud, huh? You know, you gotta watch for human truth. I told it to the brothers at lesson the last Friday, and they looked at me like, oh, here comes the heresy. No, human truth will trip you up. Let's say that I had a talent for painting. I don't. I can't make a straight line with a ruler. But say the Lord suddenly gave me a talent to be another Michelangelo, a Mrs. Angelo. That don't even sounds right, does it? That was a dumb statement. But anyway, that I had all of this great, and I painted a beautiful mural. And you came up to me and said, Mother, that is beautiful. And I'd say, yeah, it is. Well, the truth is, I do have the talent. The truth is, I did paint it. And the truth is, it is beautiful. So you say, well, what's wrong with that? If I do not give credit to the one who gave me the talent, and I don't know it and understand that truth, that supernatural truth, I'm going to get arrogant. Because then I attribute anything I have to me. I can't do that. So I have to add supernatural truth to human truth. Those of you that are arrogant have not done that yet. You're the end and all of all things. Well, you're not. And you're going to rot into maggots like everybody else. How do you like that? You're going to smell the high heaven. That's where they bury you, 6 feet underground. You think it's because they just like to bury people 6 feet? No, it's because you smell so bad, they got to bury you 6 feet. That's an honest-to-goodness truth, isn't it? So where is your arrogance going to be there? Oh, you could say, I got more maggots than anybody else. You could do something stupid like that. It would be kind of gross, wouldn't it, huh? But you see, it's so futile to be arrogant about a talent. That's what St. Paul's doing. If it was given to you, why you boast? You got to use it. But you can never forget who gave it to you, how you received it, you see. And so St. Paul is saying that. Is it that you have everything you want? That you're rich already, in possession of your kingdom? It seems to me God has put us apostles at the end of this parade. Ah, now you're going to see what Paul suffered. This will make you feel good. You know the greatest humiliation that Paul ever had, mentioned it several times in the scriptures. You know what it was? He was let down in the middle of the night in a basket. He never forgot it. What a humiliation for this strong little guy. They said he was very short. All you short people ought to rejoice. I think all you fat people need to rejoice too, because St. Anthony was fat. Thomas Aquinas, oh, what a brain, huh? Now, everybody said he had dropsy. You know, it kind of gripes me. All the saints that were fat had dropsy. How'd they get it? They didn't have, they just ate too much, I thought. I bet Thomas Aquinas with a brain working day and night with this pick. Why? I think it would be such a grace and a burden to have that kind of mind. But he wrote for God. And the Lord said to him one day, Thomas, you have written well of me. Ah. But he had his crosses, like everybody else. You know what one of them was? He was scared to death of lightning. Lightning. And when there was a terrible lightning storm, he would open up the tabernacle and put his head in it and talk to Jesus. He was so scared. Isn't that encouraging? Huh? Wonderful. Which reminds me of the little boy. It says, naturally, nothing to do with what I was saying. I just came to my mind. And since this is family night, it doesn't really matter where we go, does it? No. Okay. This little boy refused to eat his prunes. And his mother threatened him and said, okay, God's going to be very angry with you if you don't eat your prunes. And he just sat there. She said, all right, God's very angry with you. Go to bed. And he went to bed. He didn't care. He would not eat his prunes. And so in the middle of the night came a terrible, terrible, terrible electrical storm. And his mother went in to see if he was scared. And he was standing with at the window with the curtains pulled back, watching the lightning and the rain. And she heard him say, all that fuss over two prunes. I told you it had nothing to do with the subject. You'll catch on in the middle of the night somewhere. Okay. So now Paul is very, very conscious of the fact that to many he is a nobody. He said, we've been put on show in front of the whole universe. Here we are, fools, for the sake of Christ. You are celebrities. We're nobodies. To this day we go without food, without drink, without clothes. We're beaten and have no homes. We work for our living with our own hands. It was a tent maker. When we're cursed, we answer with a blessing. When we're hounded, we put up with it. We're insulted and we answer politely. We are treated like the scum of the earth. To this day, we are the scum of the earth. That's St. Paul. And so we wonder sometime, are the things that happen to us the will of God? Is it his permitting will or ordaining will? I add one, and it's only mine. Please don't look for it in a book. I call it his teaching will. I don't know if there is such a thing. I call it that because it makes sense to me. God permits many things in our life. But he has a greater good in mind if we listen. He loves us. See, that's what we don't understand. When you're cold, I didn't. When I was a kid, when I was cold and hungry, I didn't understand. I didn't understand that God loved me. I couldn't equate the hunger and the thirst with God. But you know, as I look back, I wouldn't trade those awful days for anything in the world. You know why? Because it makes me compassionate for all of you in the same boat. It makes me compassionate for single-parent families and the kids. Nobody knows what it means to be a child of single parent. Unless you have one or have been one, you don't understand. Millions of them today, millions. I was the only one in my school. But today, they're all over. I know. And that God's permitting will taught me something I would never, never learn in any book. Never. You can't learn in books. You can learn other people's experiences. You can explain pain. You can explain suffering. You can explain the rottenness of the world and the injustice of it all. But you don't know it until you go through it. You see, that's the difference. I would trade it because our Lord now can give me compassion. Compassion. Many people like myself and my poor mother are on a survival course. They don't know God. They don't think about God. They think about how do you survive today? It's a rather cold and different type of life, but that's all you got. Nobody cares. They got their own problems. And then you see, you make a big mistake. You don't turn to the only one that can give you hope and love and peace. That's God's permitting will. See, He wants to do that. He wants to do that for us all. For us all. He loves me. He loves you. And those of you who may be listening in a shelter somewhere tonight, we have many fans and many people that are family in Puerto Rico. Listen, with the pounding of the waves and the rain is the sound of His voice. It says, I love you. You won't understand. It's okay. It's hard to understand in the midst of pain. We trust, and our faith raises us above what I feel, what I think, and even sometimes what I say, because He does love us. I was thinking the other day, you know, I have a lot of worries, frustrations, you name it, we got it. I don't care what it is. And I said, Lord, how do you overcome all the things that life brings us all in one day? What do we do? And the Lord enlightened me and let me understand that you don't do anything. You become more and more aware. The greatest gift of all, He loves me. And somehow, all the frustrations and worries and all the other things that every day brings to each one of us, no matter who you are, whether you're very wealthy or very poor, we're on the same boat. We have to put up with ourselves, we have to put up with other people. But if we could just for a moment recall, He loves me. And those of you in shelters tonight, will you just, before you say anything else, just sit there and say, He loves me. And think of St. Paul. He was thrown in the ocean a couple of times and almost died. It's not that we don't do anything when the sun shines next week, and it will, and a warm breeze comes along, and it will, and you look around and everything is shattered, and it will be so. The fact that He loves you will make you build again. You'll all work together, and first thing you know, it'll be even better than it was. Or you do something, but you can't do anything unless there's something in here that tells you, in spite of it all, and because of it all, He loves you. He loves you. You love more, and you trust more in the midst of chaos. And this nation, as you know, is in chaos. Been that way a long time. Catching up with us, though. Catching up. And so we cannot ever become discouraged, no matter what happens. Because St. Paul says we're earthenware jars. Cracked pots. He didn't want to say it that way, but isn't that what he meant? We're a bunch of cracked pots. He said it nice, you know. I don't know how to say things nice. I wasn't brought up that way. If you're brought up in an Italian family, yeah, some of you around, huh? You say it like it is. My grandpa was hot-headed, you know? A real Italian grandpa. He wouldn't always say something nice. But we all know, I knew he loved me. And if he'd have said something nice, I'd have worried about him. One time he said to me in Italian, hello, my child. I thought, are you okay, Grandpa? Yeah, what's the matter? Oh, nothing. I didn't want to remind him what he usually said. But see, that was his way of loving. He didn't know how. Those little cracks in our pot that we hope would heal and we hope nobody would see, but they're there. We're not always perfect, but we keep trying, huh? I don't believe people are destined to fail. I don't believe that. We talk about a born loser. Nobody's born a loser. You just don't do things. And even if you fail, so what's wrong with failing? You know, I've learned my best lessons from the Lord when I failed. I find success hard to take. Because you always run that danger of attributing success to yourself, and that's the big lie. And you don't know if you buy the big lie or not. Sometimes you might. That's a worry. For me, it is. But in failure, you always learn something. You feel humbled, and you are. You did something very stupid. But all of a sudden, you feel clean inside. All of us do that. Well, here's St. Paul again. We are earthenware jars that hold this, what, treasure. To make it clear, that's just what I'm saying, huh? That such an overwhelming power comes from God and not from us. All of you suffering from this storm or floods, whatever, now's your time to give courage to those around you. Now here's some more St. Paul, huh? Let's look at it. We are in difficulties on all sides. Ever feel that way, huh? Yeah? How many felt that, now what's going to happen today? Difficulties on all sides, but never cornered. Hey, that's the secret, huh? That's where you are now. You're on difficulties on all sides, but never cornered. He said, we see no answer to our problems. Now, this is one of the greatest saints of the first century. He saw no answer to his problem. How many of you have gotten to that point? Some of you are here because you don't have an answer to your problem. You say, well, I'll go. Things can't get worse. He had the same thing. We see no answer to our problems, but we never despair. Oh, that's trust, huh? We have been persecuted, but never deserted. We're knocked down and never killed. Wherever we may be, we carry in our body the death of Jesus. And while we're still alive, we're consigned to our death every day for the sake of Jesus. That's what you have to think about, huh? You got to keep your eyes focused on the Lord. You know, when a nation leaves the Lord, everybody suffers for it. Everybody does. When the world leaves the Lord, the world will suffer, good and bad, indifferent. We all suffer with our brothers and sisters because Jesus does. He does. You know, sometimes a parent has to chastise a child, but sometimes the parent cries more than the child. They really don't want to do it. Sometimes that's the only way we learn, you know. You know, I had a kind of strange affliction when I was a young kid. I call it an affliction because nobody understood it. It wasn't physical. I hope it wasn't mental or spiritual. I don't know what it was, but I couldn't read a word, but I read the whole page. Everybody's stunned, aren't you, huh? For example, I'd come home from school and my mother would say, read this page. And I'd read that whole page, like that. And then she'd say to me, what's this word? And it was like Greek to me. And I'd look at it and I'd say, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I said, I don't know. Read this page. Boom, the entire page. What's this word? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. Read this word. Yes, I can't. Okay, read the page. I read the whole page. Boy, one night I got it. Pow! But I couldn't read one word. You know what my mother did, God bless her? She got two Jewish friends of hers that were teachers. And they took me and they made little pieces of paper about this big, and they put little, they cut out little squares, see? And they would make me go word by word. I felt somebody was taking my brain and going this way. It was so hard for me to do that. But you know, my mother cried. I think not only did she cry because she thought I was so stupid, but she cried because she felt obliged to do this. I don't know what I had. I must have had some disease or something. But I remember when those two teachers would grit me and they'd give me one line with all these little slits in them. And I could feel my brain turning this way and turning that way. It was terrible. But it wasn't a punishment. I learned that years later. It was something she felt obliged to do for me. You see, we don't understand God's ways. We don't understand why He does these things or permits these things, whatever. It's there, and I have to suffer. So through it all, you and I must trust that no matter what, no matter what, God either ordains it or wills it, permits it. No matter what, there is something very good. I can't think of anything in my life that I had to suffer through that God hasn't brought unbelievable good. And if you look in your life, you'll find exactly the same. And then he gives himself, and I give you hopefully more courage tonight, because he says, for we know that when this tent, my body and your body, that we live in on earth is folded up. That's a beautiful thing. When my body on earth and your body on earth is folded up, there is a house built by God for us. And that's the one thing you and I have to think about in our sometimes miserable existence. That when this tent is folded up, there is a house built by God for us, an everlasting home, not made of human hands, in the heavens. See? Think of it. Our dear Lord said it to the apostles. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. There are many mansions. Oh, wow. God is up there preparing a place for you and I. Women are notorious for always wanting a bigger house, a better house, a mansion. Mansions on earth are fine for 5, 6, or 10 years. All of a sudden, a piece of plaster comes down. The window doesn't work. Water starts coming in the house where it doesn't belong. Everything happens to it. You buy a new car, take it around the block, you lost $1,000. Used to. Now you lose almost $5,000 by taking a car out of a showroom. Ooh. That's terrible. See, all of these things are passing. And so sometimes in our life, things are disrupted, and we just don't like it. But this one sentence ought to give us courage. The other night, you know, last week, we went through the little thing of when you die. They don't always come for the funeral, but they're always there when the will is read. Even your enemies are curious. I wonder what she did with it all. Why didn't I get my share? And why did somebody get more than I did? But see, they've already gone through your chest of drawers, your car, your garage, your attic, and the very hems of your draperies. You're laughing. But this woman said, my mother was loaded, but we never knew where she kept it. And so one of the family, they almost tore the whole house apart. I bet she's up there looking down going, ha, ha, ha. You know where they found it? They cut the hems off the draperies. Because they looked a little heavier than they should be. And there it was. Now, I'm sure that poor soul thought she did the perfect way of, perfect act of misery for the whole family. And you're not doing too hot in that grave. So the whole thing is, where am I when it's all said and done? When my tent is folded up, where am I going? Yeah, think of that. because this life is short. I'm 75, and it's hard for me to believe I'm 75. Let's read it, because I feel the same as when I was 30 or 25. You know, I mean, I don't feel any different. I make as many people miserable as I can. I haven't changed that much. I hope I will before he folds up my tent. But still, we have our struggles. And so you and I have to keep that in a mind. What is it? That he loves me. That he has a mansion prepared for me. It may be in the midst of all the water and all the destruction everywhere. And most of all, we should lament the destruction of human beings in the womb. Never had a chance. That we should cry about. And I think they've got their little mansion. What about yours? Where are you going? You're going somewhere. You are definitely going somewhere. There's three places you could go. You can go to purgatory. You can go to heaven. Or you can go to hell. I'm sorry. You say, well, I don't believe in God. Hey. Truth does not depend on your little mind believing. Facts are facts, and they don't change because you don't believe. We had Dr. Von Hildebrand on last week. She was a riot. But she was also full of truth. And she talked about the student who didn't believe in God, believed we came from apes. And I could never say it like Alice could say it. I'm going to try and have her on so she can do it once more. But she reminded the young girl that she believes. And she believes that since she came from France, she is French, that her great-great-great-great-great somebody or other may have been the king of France. A very holy man. And she said, I like to think of that. Louis the Ninth. And she said, you, when you think of your past, your parents, all you see is an ape going from tree to tree. I thought it was hysterical. But it was the truth. You know, I remember very little of what I learned in school. But every day when I wake up, I can see that ape going from tree to tree. And I thought, God made me to know, love, and serve him. Well, finally, I am finished. So we have a call. Hello? Hi. Yoo-hoo. There is definitely somebody there. Well, there's something you can't do on television is wait. Television goes on. Well, we'll see if we can't get them. There's a new caller, okay? There we are. Hello? Ooh. Hello?
Hello?
Ah, where are you from?
I'm from San Antonio.
Good.
My name is Roger.
What is your question?
Yeah, I had a question about the Blessed Sacrament.
Oh, yes.
And about where it's kept in that monastery.
Yes.
And it's covered up during, y'all covered up during the Mass. I was kind of wondering why.
Wait a minute. Give me that again.
Yeah, it's covered up during the Mass. And it's uncovered when the Mass is over.
Yes. When you have Mass, that's the when Jesus comes down and the priest says those awesome words, and bread and wine is churned into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. We're not permitted to have the Blessed Sacrament exposed. Our chapel, for example, in fact, our order is totally dedicated to the Blessed Sacrament exposed on the altar, you see? And the Blessed Sacrament cannot be exposed when we are about to enter into the sacrifice of the Mass, you see? So we don't see the end result of the Mass, which is the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. We see now again Calvary. And Calvary is at every Mass. Our dear Lord, you know, there was an old spiritual, it says, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Well, the awesome thing is that you and I as Catholics are there. In the mind of the Father, all things are present. All things are present. There's no past, no future. Everything is now. So when you and I go to Mass, we are at Calvary, the one sacrifice, you see. And so we don't have the resurrection present. It comes. At Holy Communion, you and I receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. It's an awesome gift from the Father. Awesome, awesome gift. Unfortunately, we don't always appreciate it. We have one more call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica?
Yeah, where are you from?
New Jersey.
And what is your question?
My first question is, did the Roman Catholic Church implement the Mary as co-redeemer yet?
No.
They didn't?
No.
Okay.
I wish they would. I personally think, this is my opinion, the lawyers say I have to say that, you see. They're afraid I get in trouble every time I say something, so I have to, it's my opinion. I think if Our Lady was declared as a dogma, the co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate, I think the world would change so fast we wouldn't know what happened. Because that's the last Marian dogma that's needed, I think it's needed. To say to Our Lady, we're so grateful that you stood beneath the cross and offered your Son for us. We're so grateful, sweet Mother, that you intercede for us, that you're a real mother and you pray for us. We're so grateful, sweet Mother, that you not only intercede for us, that like a good mother, many gifts come from you, given to you by your Son, Jesus. See, whatever we call her mediatrix of all grace, because whatever we get, she gets from Jesus, huh? She can't give it to us herself, but it comes from Jesus. And so the dogma to me makes sense. A lot of people think it's not the time. When is there time to do anything? You can't do anything everybody approves of. Everybody say we would lose the entire Protestant faith to, we'd never have any kind of unity if we declared her assumed into heaven. Well, we did it. Nobody had a nervous breakdown. Who'd had a nervous breakdown over that? Made sense to me. You can't wait for people to approve. I would love to see it. I may not in my lifetime. Somebody will, though. I think it'll be done either this century or the beginning of the next. I may be wrong, but that's okay. You can have your opinion. And I wish she is, because I think our dear Lord, you know, way back in Genesis, the Lord promised she would crush the head of Satan. Well, I think this is a great time to crush it. I think there's no greater time. I really don't. I talk to Our Lady every day, and I say, "Sweet Mother, what are you waiting for? You're the greatest woman ever lived, ever created by God. How long are you going to let this monster roam the earth?" Well, I don't know. God knows. God bless you. And like the Irish say, may you live 1,000 years. Bye now. Thank you.